Rick, you touched on the players' frustration at the end of the year there. When you have guys saying things like, we've got to be held accountable, this is Paul Stastny talking at the end of the year, we've got to have more respect for each other, when you don't care about the teammate next to you and you just care about what you're doing, individual things, that creeps into the game. What does that tell you?
Well, that's when I say the team kind of lost its way a little bit. That it all starts there. The X and O's of our game don't work if there's issues that they're not being held accountable to each other, and they're not all on the same page. You've got to fix those issues off ice, and that's what I talked to Chevy about right away. Like you're talking to me, all I can tell you from what I've seen from the outside is the way the team played was totally different from 2 years, and it had nothing to do with the X and O's. It was the competitive. So the comments you're telling me about, I'm not aware of. And just in talking to the players, I'm aware of more now of what went on. And we're going to address those issues, which I've already started to do, and we're going to correct them.
So what do you do with an offensively talented player doesn't want to do the dirty work on the other end? Had them in your career.
Yeah, and you stay on them, because all you have to do is look at the last two Stanley Cup deciding games. 1-0, 2-1. And that's how you win in the playoffs. So you're talking about an offensive guy. If he wants to win, he buys in. It's as simple as that. And if he doesn't buy in, then you're taking away his ice time, and you're taking away his ability to get all those points, because the team has to come first. And the players know who's getting away with murder and who's not getting away with it. So we have to hold everyone accountable at the same level, everyone, top to bottom. And it starts there.
Without naming names, have you seen that happening here?
I just can tell you that it wasn't the same team. Yeah. Competitiveness of the last couple of years.
Which are some of the players you've talked to and you mentioned?
Pardon me?
Some of the players you have talked to already.
I spoke with Pionk today. I've talked to Shifley. I've talked to Adam Lowry. I've talked to a few of the guys. And again, it's a holiday weekend in Canada on the Friday, and today's a holiday weekend in the States, so we're playing phone tag a little bit, but that's okay. It's July. I'll catch up to them all.
How was that conversation with Mark Shifley?
Great. Yeah. Like, really good. Very encouraged after talking to him. He's excited about the next year. I think he's one of the guys that knows the team didn't achieve the success that they wanted. He was very enthusiastic and looking forward to training camp. So when I hung up from him, I was very encouraged, because I know he's a great player and he's a huge part of any success this team is going to have. And you talk about buy-in, it just sounded to me, just from the tone of his voice and his words, that he's in and he's all in, and I'm looking forward to working with him.
Are you aware that at the end of this season it kind of sounded like he might want a different location?
Yeah, I'm not kind of aware, but we talked about that.
You did? How'd it go?
Good.
Rick, how different do you think the roster might look in October versus what you're kind of looking at on paper today?
You know, I can't answer that. Chevy can answer that. That's, you know, I'm going to coach the players that are here in September. However that looks, who's ever here is going to want to be here, and we're going to work with whoever shows up.
When was your first strength? Goals against was such a strength for Dallas over the years that you were there. Yep. But of course, like, one system that works somewhere doesn't necessarily work in other places. What does kind of the rest of the summer look like for you when you're developing the plan to kind of go into and get ready for the weekend?
Well, again, it goes back to just watching a few more of the games. And picking area and individuals. But again, it's like I said, it's not fair for another coach to come in and say, you know, oh, they're doing this all wrong. Well, maybe they're bad reads. It happens. Players make mistakes. The systems, you get them to buy in, you get them to compete, and the systems will take care of themselves. It does start with all of that. So you don't complicate the game that much, but you have to have that willingness and the mentality to be able to and be comfortable with a 2-1, 3-2 game on a consistent basis. Now you're trying to score 4, 5, 6 goals every game. You never take that away from the players, but you've got to be comfortable playing those tight games, because that's how you're going to win the Stanley Cup.
When was your first conversation with Chevy?
Pardon me?
When was your first conversation with Chevy?
That's a good question. I would say 9-10 days ago, something like that. I had two conversations with him.
Was it before or after Barry Trotz said he wouldn't?
It was after.
You talked about Stanley Cups. How did your 5 years in Tampa working with John Cooper kind of help you evolve as a coach?
Well, it was a huge help. You go back, I've been to the finals 3 times in the last 11 years. You just go back to Vancouver. That was a great experience. We were with LA, and we had a great team there. We get to the finals, and we were banged up a little bit, and that hurt us. Our second year in Tampa, or third year, we got to the finals. But that was a different scenario. We had a great run in the playoffs, but we weren't there. We weren't ready to win. We didn't know all the details it takes to win and go. So I carried kind of both of those experiences into the bubble. And when we got to the finals, unfortunately, again, we didn't have our number one goalie, Ben Bishop. We lost 3 of our top 6-7 forwards as the series went on. So we got there. And when you get there, everyone's always will talk about, you get to the finals, you got to be lucky, you got to be healthy. And next time I get to the finals, I'm hoping I'm healthy, and we'll take care of the luck part of it.
Greg, when are you hoping to have your coaching staff rounded out?
Hopefully in the next couple of days.
And are you looking to add, I know you announced Scott, but are you looking to add 1, 2 more?
Probably two. Flats is he stays on as a goalie coach, great goalie coach. I coach Flats in New York. We're going to add a couple guys.
Rick, what Jets 1.0 were obviously very special in your career. Dale Hawerchuk was someone I know that was you're very close with. They're going to have a statue of him coming up this fall. Just, I guess, what do those connections mean to you and any highlights from your time the first go-round here?
It's great to come back, but the main reasons we're here are because of what I said earlier, the good people and the good team. Does it help that we have a connection to the city and their organization? Absolutely. Our daughter was born here in Winnipeg. She's our token Westerner. The rest of us are Maritimers. Having that relationship with the city before, and guys like Dale. And I played golf with his son Eric a couple of months ago in Phoenix. And having Arnie around. So, listen, I remember the first whiteout we had at the arena. Like, those things are great memories here. We have got great memories from Winnipeg. But again, we're here because we love the people that we're going to work for. We love the team. We love the city. And it's nice to have those connections to the past.
Remember Tuxedo Night against Montreal?
Absolutely, yeah. I scored a goal.
I
scored two. One was an empty netter. I was surprised to be on the ice in that scenario.
Last one, Rick, you've had a lot of success with young defensemen in development. What do you feel about the Jets defense corps, and why have you had that success?
I've got to watch a few more games to get a good feel for these players. I really don't have a great feel for it yet. I'm going to keep watching some video. But, again, it's your ability to adapt. Adapt or die, man. You've got to learn to adjust. You've got to learn to deal with these young players. Their needs are different than they were 10, 15 years ago, even 5 years ago. So you have to adjust. So the big thing for me is working with any young player is just be patient. Understand their need, get to know them as a person and understand their needs and how you can build the confidence in what they do and without destroying them, build up the things that they don't do very well. But again, it's just learning how to deal with this generation and being patient with them and being very, very supportive.